Tereshis Mesech Techul and Daf Tezayin, and we will begin on Daf Tezayin Amar Aleph at the end of the second line. Amar. We learned in a Brice in the previous year, Hashoychet B'muchni, if somebody shechs with a wheel, which we described, that the knife is connected to a wheel, and he turns the wheel, and it causes the knife to shecht. One Brice says, Shechitasek Shera, that the Shechita is considered a kosher Shechita. Ask the Gemara Vatanya, have we not learned that Shechitasek Psula, that shechting with a wheel is a disqualified type of Shechita? Answers the Gemara Lekasher, Habasarna de Pachra, Habasarna de Maya. If you're using a wheel that's a manual wheel that you turn, so that's when it's kosher. If you're using one that is not manually operated, but it's hydraulically operated, that the water causes, you open up the water and the water, the energy of the water causes the wheel to turn, so that's not considered your act. And since it's not considered your act, it's not a valid shechita. Vibay Seima, another way of reconciling these two brises, Hava Habasar and Damaya. Both brises are referring to a wheel powered by water energy. V'loy kasha, habekoyach rishon. The brisa that says it's valid is speaking about when it was done with the first turn of the wheel. So that's attributable to the person who opened up the water and caused it to make the wheel turn. Habekoyach sheni. The second turn is already not attributable to the person who caused the wheel to turn, and therefore it's not a valid shechita. Tfuah Shah points out, and he says Rashi makes the point in a moment, it's not just enough that it should be b'koyach rishon, that it should be the first energy that caused my action caused the wheel to turn, but he goes on to say it has to be also a situation where there isn't a distance, a great distance, between the water and the wheel. But if there's a distance between the water and the wheel, even if it's koyach rishon, it would not be kosher. So the way the Rashba explains this Gemara is as follows. What's the difference between the two terutzim, says the Rashba? According to the first teretz, sarna d'maya is never acceptable. Sarna d'pachra is acceptable, but he says according to the first teretz, sarna d'pachra would be only acceptable by the evid. Why would it only be acceptable by the evid? Since sarna d'maya is never good, so we don't want to have sarn de pachra lechatchila. It's only acceptable by the evid. That's how, but according to the second teretz, that differentiates in sarn de maya itself between koyach rishon and koyach sheni, says the Rashba, according to the second teretz, the sarn de maya, sarn de pachra will always be fine. It's only in sarn de maya that there are different degrees, but sarn de pachra will always be acceptable. The Chasam Sofer explains what is the basis of the machloikis of these two terutzim. He says, the machloikis is what is considered my action. The first teretz holds that only what is clearly attributable to me, where I caused the wheel to move, where I turned the wheel, is considered my action. Anything that isn't a direct action, according to the first teretz, is not considered my action. The second teretz is much more lenient. And even though it's an indirect cause, I just open up the water, and the water causes the wheel to move, that's still attributable to me. Although, I did see from the Maram Shik, that the Maram Shik suggests that Avada Sarn Demai is also my action. Without me, nothing would have happened. But, he says, it's only with Rabbanon that Chazal were Machmer, that that's not considered enough of an action. Furthermore, I saw the Paiskim say that this teretz that we're learning in our Gemara, the difference between Sarna de Maya and Sarna de Pachra, is relevant la loch la maisa. We know there's a din of Shiluach HaKan, Shaleich to Shaleich HaSaim, Vasabonim Tikach Loch, you have to send the mother away. So what will be the halacha they speak about? You have a nest with the mother bird in the nest, and you don't go physically and send the mother away. You just open up the nest that the mother should fly away. Is that considered that you were mekayim the mitzvah of shleich to shleich haseim? And it's very much connected to our Gemara. Furthermore, I saw that the Sharm Tzion Balacha discusses, there's a famous question in Halacha about the use of Mishim Matzah on Pesach. And why is the question of Mishim Matzah? Because you only push the button and then the matzahs get baked by themselves. Is that considered my direct action, that it should be considered that I bake the matzahs? Or is it not considered my direct action and will not be considered that I actually bake the matzahs? Says the Gemara, Vikiha, this distinction that we've been making between Saran de Maya and Saran de Pachra, and by Saran de Maya between Koyach Rishon and Koyach Sheni, we have a basis for this in Halacha. Kihad Amra Papa, Haiman de Kafsil Chavre, somebody tied up somebody else, Vashkale Bitka de Maya, and then he opened up a dam of water and the water came rushing out and miss, killed the person who was tied and couldn't run away, Chayev. My Tama, Giri the day, Hudahani Bay, because it was a direct action, it was a direct cause of the person who opened up this flood of water. However, says the Gemara, very much in line with what we just learned, Hani Mili, B'Koyach Rishon, if the person died as a direct result of the person opening up this gate, letting the water come and flood, Ab B'Koyach Sheni, if it wasn't a direct act, Rama Ba'amahu. And here Rashi says, as I quoted the Tfu Shar, that it has to be that the water was right next to the person who got killed. If there's a distance, it wouldn't be considered Koyach Rishon. Furthermore, I saw the Mefarshim make a very interesting point. The Gemara speaks about a case of Haiman the Kafsel Chaveri. The first he tied him up, and then he opened up the water. And what would be the halacha, asked the Mefarshim, if it wasn't this person who tied him up? Somebody else tied him up, and then he's laying there, Nebuch, tied up, and somebody else comes along and opens up the water with a Koyach Rishon. Would it be considered a Ritzayach or not? So Mefarshim say it doesn't make a difference if the person who opens up the water is the one that tied him up or not. If it's a Koyach Rishon, he's considered a Ritzayach. So why did the Gemara speak about a case of the Kafsei L'Chavrei? Because the Gemara wants to teach us the other side of the coin. That even though this person is the one that tied him up, and this person is also the one that opened up the water, but it wasn't the Koyach Rishon, it was the Koyach Sheni, he's not going to be considered a murderer. Why? Because it was the Koyach Sheni. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rav Achuri Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya Kameh the Rebbe V'Yosef Kamer, V'nayin L'Shechita Shubitolosh. How do we know that Shechita has to be done with a knife that with an instrument that's not connected to the ground, as we discussed in the previous year? Shenema, because the pasuk says, V'yikach es mechelas lishchar es benoi. So the very big machloikus rishonim, machloikus Tosfos already discusses, exactly how we learn from this pasuk that the knife has to be detached. Tosfos says, because the Torah could have said, V'yochin es mechelas lishchar es benoi, you prepare the knife, the fact that the Torah goes out of the way to use the word vayikach, we learn from here that it has to be something that's detached. That's how Tosfos learns. Others say that if we look in the pasuk in the Akedah, the pasuk says vayikach es machelas lishchar es benoi. There's no reason to say vayikach es. He could have just said he was already carrying the machelas. So it's obvious that the Torah, by adding the word vayikach, is teaching us that the knife has to be a detached knife. So according to these two approaches, we're learning it from the word vayikach. Others learn it from a different word. They learn it because the pasuk says earlier in the parasha Akedah that Avraham Avinu took the machelas and the eish and he walked with Yitzchak. And the pasuk says vayel chushneim yachdav. They walked together. Now if the knife was attached to the ground, they couldn't have walked with the knife. So it's obvious that the knife was detached. And it's fascinating that as we look at this machloikis that the Mefarshim have exactly from which word of the parasha of the Akedah is the word that teaches us that the knife has to be detached, there's a big nafkamina lahalocha lamaisa. There's a question that the Paiskim discuss, could one be mekayim the mitzvah of dalaminim when the dalaminim are still attached to the ground? You'll put your hands, let's say, all next to each other, otherwise just don't have enough hands. But they're all next to each other, and you hold the dalaminim are you mekayim the mitzvah or not? Why? The Torah uses the words v'lakachtem lachem. The Torah, when it speaks about the mitzvah d'alminim, uses the words v'lakachtem. So now, if we're going to say that we're learning from the word vayikach, that the word vayikach means something detached, so there too the Torah uses the words v'lakachtem. So obviously, to be mekayim the mitzvah d'alminim, they have to be detached. But if we're going to follow the other approach, that we're learning it from v'yeil chushneim yachtov, the word v'lakachtem isn't what vayikach isn't what teaches us that the knife has to be detached. So v'lakachtem doesn't necessarily mean detached, and it could be mekayim the mitzvah d'alminim even when they're attached to the ground. Another question that Tosfos asks is that Yitzchak was being brought as a korban olah. So maybe the halacha that you have to use a detached knife is only by a korban. Who says that that's the halacha when you're just shechting an animal in order to eat it? Says Tosfos, the pasuk has extra words. The pasuk says, V'yikach ha-maschelas lishchar espinoi. What does the Torah say espinoi? The Torah should say, shouldn't have said anything, or should it say, V'yikach ha-maschelas lishchar esa'oila? The fact that the Torah uses the words espinoi is to teach us that this din is even by chulin, not just by kotch. So, that's how we know that the knife has to be detached. Amalei Rav l'Rabchia, so Rav said to Rabchia, my comer, what was he saying? Amalei Vav the Kiv Siva Ufsa comer. Which means like this, if you write the letter Vav on a piece of wood that's not smooth, the Vav will be cracked because the piece of wood is not smooth. He's saying what he's saying is a svar that isn't smooth, that isn't oiskahalten, that isn't strong. It's cracked. Why? Because a hakra kamar, how do we understand that pasuk? Through zusei davram kamashmalam. All that pasuk is teaching us that Avram Avinu took a knife and went out of the way to use the proper knife. But it doesn't mean that you have to use a knife. As the Mefarshim say, I saw a number of mahalchim, a beautiful approach to this gemara in the Mefarshim. Mefarshim say, what is the havamina, what is maskana? There's a question. How can we learn from Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu was before the Matan Torah. Avram Avinu might not have even been considered al pi din a Yisrael. He may be considered a ben noyach. And that's what the gemara is saying. We can learn midos. We can learn how to act from Avram Avinu, but we can't learn from Avram Avinu halacha l'maisa. And the fact that Avram Avinu used a detached knife doesn't have any bearing on the halacha. What does the Havamina learn? The Havamina learns that since Avram Avinu was specifically commanded to do this, so now it's not just something that's a ben noyach. They say the halachas of kotshim we can learn from ben noyach. We learn halachas from the kabbanis the noyach brought. Why? Because since he was mechuyif, we learned in Amasech that a goy could bring a carbon. So that's not something that we can't learn from. And that's the machlok of the Havamin and the Maskana. There's a beautiful vart from the Sefer Yaakov HaGershuni on this Gemara. He says, we all know the famous Gemara. The Gemara says, Kim Avram Avinu kol Torah kula. Avram Avinu was mekayim the entire Torah. So the question is, how did he know? How did he know what to do? There was no Torah yet. So how did he know what to do? So all the Mefarshim say that Avram Avinu was in such a high level of Ruchnius, with such a high level of Kedusha, that his body was so attuned to what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do, that by itself it did what it was supposed to do. And by itself it didn't do what it wasn't supposed to do. So he says a beautiful word. He says, we know, as actually was the end of the story, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really didn't want Avram Avinu to shecht Yitzchak. So normally, when Avram Avinu did something, it came to him very easily. Here, when he wanted to shecht Yitzchak, it really wasn't Ratzon Hashem. It really wasn't the will of Hashem. So he had to strain himself. This was the first time Avram Avinu had to do a mitzvah, and it didn't come easily to him. Why didn't it come easily to him? Because it wasn't really the Ratzon Hashem. He just didn't know yet that it wasn't the Ratzon Hashem. So he had to strain himself through Sosid Avram to do this mitzvah. Amar Rava, continues the Gemara. Pshitali, it's obvious to me, Tolush L'Bsoif Chevroi. We've been learning in our Gemara that a Mechubar, something that's connected, is not good for Shechita. Why would be the halacha, suggests the Gemara, discusses the Gemara, when something was originally detached and then it became attached? So we know, and we're going to learn it in a moment, the Torah says, Eloheim Elohorim V'Loyahorim Eloheim, which the Gemara teaches us means that, let's say somebody, Rechman al Tzlon, worships a mountain, that mountain doesn't become an Avodah Zarah. What will happen? Anything that's Mechubar is not Avodah Zarah. What will be the halacha if somebody attached something to the ground? So is it considered Mechubar and doesn't become Avodah Zarah, or is it not considered Mechubar? So he says, as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned, Pshitli Tolush L'Psayv Chibroi, if you started with something detached and then it became attached, Linyan Avodah Zarah become Avodah Zarah. As far as Avodah Zarah is concerned, it's certainly considered Tolush. Domamar, Hamishtach V'Labai Shaloi, if somebody bows down to his own house, Osroi. The Farshim say, why your own house? Because if you bow down to somebody else's house, you can't make somebody else's house Avodah Zarah. Because we learned the concept of Ein Adam Oyser, Davish and Shaloi. You can't prohibit something that you don't own. Visa Kedatach, if we're going to say that it's in the category of Mechubar, didn't we just quote, Eloheim Eloharim V'Loyaharim Eloheim? So certainly, as far as something that was originally detached, a house that started with materials that you built and attached to the ground, it's considered Tolush, and if you worship a house, that house becomes Avodah Zarah, if it's your house. And as the Rishonim explained, why is it so simple and obvious to the Gemara? Because the fact that the Torah went out of its way when it wants to teach us this rule, using Horim as the model. Horim is something you can't make a mountain. The mountain is there because the Kadosh Baruch Hu made a mountain. It clearly teaches us that it had to be Mechubah Mikara. However, Linyan Hechshes Roim. So a word of introduction is in order. We know the halacha is that food cannot become tamei, is not susceptible to tumah unless it becomes first wet, one of the Zayin Mashkin. Furthermore, and we've discussed this halacha in our Masechta, it means that either you put water on the food or you are satisfied with the fact that the food got wet. In those cases, clearly the water is machshir the food l'kabel tumah. The Mishnah teaches us a Masechta Machshirin that if you were first Tchilosei Baratzen V'Soifa Ba'Oinitz, meaning that if you were first satisfied with the water that it made something wet, and now you don't want it to make it wet, doesn't make a difference. It will still be Machshir l'kabel tumah. So simple case. Let's say water spilled on something, and then it went, and you wanted the water to spill on that, and then it went onto the food, that food would be Machshir l'kabel tumah. But there's an exception to that rule. The exception to that rule is if you were satisfied with the water making something that's Mechubah l'karka, something attached to the ground wet, then that then wouldn't apply. And with that introduction, we'll begin the Gemara. Linyan Hechshes Roim, as far as Hechshes Roim is something that's Talosh L'Psoif Chibroi, considered Mechubah or not, suggests the Gemara that perhaps it's a Machloikus Tanoim. The Tanan, the Mishnah in Masechta Machshirim says, Hakoif Kara Al Kaisel, somebody puts a dish on the wall, B'shvil Shetudach, so the dish is not something that's Mechubah L'Karka. And then the water spills from that dish onto the food, Harezeh B'chiyutan, that food is considered Mechubah L'Kabel Tumah. On the other hand, B'shvil Shlayilka Kaisel, if your purpose was that the water, you put the plate there to protect the wall, so you didn't want the plate to get wet, and then that water went from the plate onto the food, that food is not Mushal Kabatumah. Now ask the Gemara, Hagufa Kasha. Let's understand this Mishnah itself. Amrit, what did the Reish say? Bishvil Shetudach. The only reason why the food is Mushal Kabatumah, it's because you wanted the plate to become wet. Harezeh b'chiyutan, because you wanted the plate to become wet. Ha'bishvil shiyudach ha'kaisel, if you wanted to rinse the wall, given that the wall is considered mechubah l'karka, it wouldn't be machshir l'kabel tumah. Harezeh b'chiyutan. That's the ratio. Now let's look at the sefer, says the Gemara. V'adatani, bishvil shiloyilka ha'kaisel, only when your purpose was to protect the wall, Eina b'chiyutan. Why would be the halacha ha'mishvil shiyudah ha'kaisel? Now that's just that you wanted to protect the wall, but you wanted the wall to get wet. Ha'reza b'chiyutan. So we have a stira from the Reisha to the Sefer. The Reisha seems to indicate that getting the wall wet, wanting to get the wall wet, will not be a way to be machshir the food. And the Sefer seems to indicate that getting the wall wet, wanting the wall to get wet, get rinsed, is a reason for b'chiyutan. How do we reconcile the Reisha to the Sefer? Amar Rav Elazar, says Rav Elazar, we have no other way, it seems, to understand this. Tavra mishashanazu lashanazu. That the Reisha and the Sefer represent two different opinions. And the Reisha's opinion is that Tolush ulub saif chibroi is considered mechubar. And the Sefer's opinion is that Tolush ulub saif chibroi is not considered mechubar. So now we understand what Rav's statement was. That when the Rav said, the linyan hechshas roim tanoihi, the machlokes tanoim is the Reisha and the Sefer of that Mishnah. Says the Gemara, no. Rabbi Papa Amma, we don't have to say that. Kula chatanahu. Everybody will agree that Tolush Lubsoif Chibroi is considered Tolush. The Reisha is speaking about a Koisel Mara. There are different types of walls. There are walls that are man-made, and there are walls that are created by God, the wall of a cave. The Reisha is talking about a Koisel Mara. So that's not Tolush Lubsoif Chibroi. That's Mechubar. And that's why there, even if you wanted to rinse the wall, it wouldn't make a difference. It's considered mechubal karka. The sefer is the koisel binyan that you built. Vachakama. Hakoifa kara ala koisel. If you put a plate on the wall, bishvut tudach, because you wanted the plate to get rinsed, so then you wanted something that's not attached to the ground to get rinsed, that's when it's machshu the food. Hareza b'chiyutan. But if you wanted the wall to get rinsed, ain't a b'chiyutan. Continues the Gemara and explained that Mishnah. But no, the Rama Murim b'koisel Mara that was made by God, it's mechubar. Avo b'koisel binyan, if it's a man-made wall, b'shvil shelo yilka koisel, only if you're putting it there to protect the wall, that's when it's ain't a b'chiyutan, that's when it's not machshir. But if your goal is to make the wall wet, you want to rinse the wall, and the wall is a man-made wall, everybody will agree that Tolush L'Besoyev Chibroi is considered Tolush, and it's B'chiyutan. Before we go further, we're thinking and looking at this Gemara, and assuming that this has very little to do with us. The Paiskim say it has a lot to do with us, because we know that the Gemara says in many times, and that's the Halacha, Ein Nishbon Al Karkos. If there's a dispute between two people over a piece of property, over real estate, we don't make the person swear. We never make, the Torah teaches us there's never a chiv shvua on karka. So let's say you have two people that have a dispute over a house. So the house is tolush l'psoif chibroi. So will it be considered mechubal karka and Bezdin can't force anybody to swear? Or is it not considered tolush l'psoif chibroi? It was considered like Tolush, and Bezdin could force somebody to swear. The Ramah actually brings down two opinions. He doesn't pass on this. He says, because it's really based on this question. Continues the Gemara. By Rav. Tolush l'psoif chibroi l'inyan shechita mayim. As the Mefarshim explained, connected to the previous shir, even though we learned in the previous shir that it seems that Tolush l'psoif chibroi may be everybody will agree is fine, even Rebbe the Machmer. That was only according to the Maskana of the Gemara. According to the first Teretz of the Gemara, Rebbe was stricter by Chibroi, by Mechubar, that it wouldn't even work with the Yevid. And now he wants to know what will the deed of din by Tolus L'Psoif Chibroi, Toshma. So it seems we have a raya from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hoya Tzur Yoytzim in a Kaisel, if there was a rack coming out of a wall, or there's a reed growing out of the ground, and somebody used that to shecht, shechitas psula. So we see, it seems, that this is tolush l'psoif chibroi, because it's coming out of the wall, and we're saying that it's possible. So isn't a raya that tolush l'psoif chibroi is no good? Answers the Gemara, it's not a raya, because as we said before, we have walls that are not man-made, that are God-made. They're certainly considered mechubar. So what happened over here was, you had a rack coming out of a wall of a mara, that's certainly considered mechuber, and that's why it's possible. We have no raya to tolish l'psoif chibrei. Hochemai skinen, what is this price referring to? Bekoisel marom. And the Gemara is so happy with its teretz, it brings a raya that it's the right pshat. Dekanami, because look at the two cases that the brisa juxtaposes. The tani dumi the kana elema elov. The kana elema elov, the thing that grows out of the ground, the reed that grows out of the ground, is certainly minashamayim. So the kaisel is also a kaisel mara. We have no raya, what's going to be din by a man-made wall. Toshma. So Gemara wants to bring another raya. Not kaisel b'kaisel. Sakim b'kaisel. Somebody stuck a knife into the wall. V'shchitas v'shachaba shchitas k'shera. So we see clearly that it's kosher. Says the Gemara, Shani Sakin, you can't bring a raya from that case. If somebody attaches something to the wall without having the intent that it should remain there permanently, it certainly remains a separate entity. And this wall, this knife, even if it's connected to the wall, it makes no difference. The knife is a separate entity, and the knife, avada, you could shecht with. Interesting shiloh that achronim debate. Throughout halacha, there's a concept of kol oimed ligozes, kol oimed liktzer kekotzer dami, that the halacha views something that's supposed to be cut as if it's cut. What will we say regarding this halacha of mechuber? We're saying you can't use something that's mechuber. What will be the halacha? It's mechuber, but I intend to detach it. Does the halacha already look at it as if it's detached and kosher for shechita, or does the halacha look at it as it's not detached and not kosher for shechita? Machlokes v'achronim. So the Gemara still tries. Toshma, the Braisa said, b'mechubel karka, shchitosik shera. So the Gemara is assuming that what is the Braisa teaching us in this case? That the which are the opening words of this Braisa, that something which is tolush l'besoif mechubber is not in the category of mechubber. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Braisa. Dilma perusha kamefarishloi. The last case that we just spoke about, the knife on the wall, where you don't intend to keep the knife on the wall all the time, is considered fine. And that's what the Braisa is teaching us. My mechubel karka, when is something which is mechubel karka kosher? In the case of sakin, when you put a knife on the wall without the intent to keep the knife there all the time. But a regular case of tolush l'psoif chibroi, we then answer. Omamar. Not sakin b'kaisel. So we just learned the halacha, that if you put a knife on the wall, and it is not your intent to keep the knife there all the time, so even though the wall is mechubel karka, you could shecht with it. Amamar, we just learned, not sakim b'kaisel, you attached a knife to the wall, v'shochet ba, shchitosik shera. Amar of Anan Amashmu, loy shana, elisha sak lamala, only in a case where the knife was on top, v'tzava behem lamata. And the animal, that means you turn the animal upside down, and the knife and the animal's neck, and the knife is on top, and the animal's neck is on bottom. Aval, in a case where you have the sak lamata, the tzav behem lamala, so you're shechting what's known as shechitoy medes, where you shecht the knife on the bottom and the neck on top, given, and this is very important, as we'll see, that the knife is connected to the wall, chashin and shem yidrois, we're concerned that you're going to make a drusa. Because, as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, posh pshat, the way they explain the Gemara is as follows. If your knife, how do you usually shecht? How does somebody usually? You move the knife. Halacha vayva. If the knife is connected to the wall, you're not moving the knife. What are you moving? You're moving the animal. So since you're moving the animal, you have to be a lot more careful not to make a drusa. So in such a case, where the knife is under the neck of the animal, and it's not that you're moving the knife, you're moving the neck, therefore, you can't have a shchitoy medes, you can't have the animal's head on top and the knife on bottom, it has to be that the animal's neck is on below the knife. And that's pshat in the Gemara. Because, ask the Gemara, have we not learned in a braisa, bein shesak lamata v'tzav behem lamala, shchita is kosher, whether the knife is on bottom and the neck is on top, bein shesak lamala v'tzav behem lamata, the way to understand the braisa is as follows. Sak lamata v'tzaver behem lamala. When is it fine that the knife is under the neck of the animal? Only when you're using a knife which is tolush, which is not connected to the wall. since it's not connected to the wall, you're able to move the knife back and forth. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference that the head of the animal is above the knife. However, sakin lamala v'tzav behem lamata, where is it essential that the animal has to be the other way around, that the neck is on, that the knife is on top and the neck is on bottom? As I said, because it's mechuber, there we have to be concerned about a drusa, and we have to be careful that the neck should be in bottom. But under normal circumstances, it seems you could check either way. Which is, I'm not going to go into the question, but it's a very relevant question as far as shechita is done. How could you, is the right way of shechita just by turning over the animal, or is the right way to do shechita when the animal is standing? From here in Agamar, it seems you could do the shechita in either way, as long as the animal's head is firm, and you don't have to worry that the animal's head will go down by itself and cause a drusa. Rapapa has a different approach. He says, indeed, that the halacha is, you should always have the knife on top and the neck on bottom. Where don't we have to have that? Ba'oy for the kol. By a bird that's lighter, so we don't have to worry about a drusa because the head of the bird is very light, so it's much less of a concern of drusa. There it doesn't make a difference what's on top and what's on bottom. By an animal, he's suggesting, you always have to have the head on bottom. Machlokes Rishonim, when we speak about a bird, what does the Gemara mean about a bird? Three different opinions I saw in the Rishonim. One opinion I saw in the Rishonim, it means strictly a bird like a chicken, which is very light. But if you start with a heavier bird, like a turkey, it wouldn't have the same halacha. The other Rishonim say that all birds, because the Gemara doesn't distinguish between different types of birds, all birds are treated the same way. And the third opinion says that certainly by all birds, is there nothing to worry about. But even by animals, you know, we have heavier animals, steer, and we have lighter animals, calves, lambs. We can be made by calves and lambs as well. We only have to worry by heavier animals. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Lava Masnisa Tana. Hey Dvarim Nema B'Kruma Shalkana. There were five things said regarding a sharp reed. Ain't shechtem ba. We're not allowed to shecht with it. Why? As we're going to see, because we're concerned that's going to splinter. Vein molim ba. We can't use it to do a bris milah. We can't use it to cut meat. We can't use it as a toothpick. And one can't use it to clean himself after he used the bathroom. Ask the Gemara. Here we're learning in this brisa that we're not allowed to use it for shechita. But Tanya, but have we not learned? Our Mishnah clearly taught us that we are allowed to use a kruma shalkana. Answers the Gemara. Amra Papa b'simuna da agma. The difference is what type of a piece of reed is it? If it's a smooth reed, then it's fine to use for shechita. We don't use it; we always use a metal knife. But al pidin it's mutter. If it has splinters, it's not smooth. We're concerned it's going to puncture the kanah deveshet, and we know, and we'll discuss it. We have discussed it, and we'll discuss it again. That a nekuvas haveshet is a trefa, or perhaps even an avela. Ein mechatchem ba baser, we can't use it to cut meat, says the Gemara. Rapapa mechatchem ba kirvei dogim. He used it to cut fish, the zigi. The fish were transparent. So where did Mefarshim explain? The Gemara is telling us a bigger kula. The Gemara is saying you can even use a kana that will splinter to cut the fish. Why? Because since the fish skin is transparent, you'll see if there are any splinters there that you should avoid. Rabbi Rama Mechatabai Oifa, he would use it to cut birds, drakik. Again, they're soft. Since they're soft, they cut by themselves, and we're not worried that it's going to splinter. We can't use it in the bathroom. Ask the Gemara, why do we have to say you can't use it on the bathroom? Typically, it should be also for a different reason. The Gemara Masech the Shabbos teaches us, Hamakanach bedover sh'or shalet espo, if somebody uses to clean himself something that could become flammable, something could get on fire, shino noishris, it could cause his rectum to fall apart. So that should be the answer. Answers the Gemara, you're right. For cleaning oneself after using the bathroom, it's also for a different reason. Here we're talking about kinir pimaka, If somebody, Rechman Tzlan, has a wound, he shouldn't use a piece of wood that could splinter, because it could cause that, he could cause his wound to get the splinter in it, make it worse than better. Of course, obviously, all of you are thinking that here we're learning that we're not allowed to use to clean oneself after using the bathroom, something that's or Charlotte Ba. So how does one use tissue after using the bathroom? It's certainly or Charlotte Ba. So the Rishonim already say that this whole halacha is really based on kishif. And that concern is only when you're using a bathroom that we know in those times they had the bathroom, the outhouses, that they went the far away to use the bathroom. We have modern plumbing, and the bathrooms are in our homes and in our offices. That then doesn't apply. Another reason the Rishayim say, well, we don't have to worry about, is because Kivan the Dosh Dosh Bay, since it became the custom of the entire world to use tissue after using the bathroom, Shem Pesayim Hashem, Hashem protects us. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, Hakol Shartim Ul Oilim Shartim. And like we said when we learned the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to explain every word of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Hakol Shartim teaches us Hakol V'Shchita V'Filo Oif. Even birds are Mechuyiv and Shchita. So Farshim asked, we're going to learn later in our Masechta extensively the halachos of Shchita of birds. So why did our Mishnah have to mention it? So the simple teretz is because that's the derech of the Mishnah, to teach us all the halachas, even though it's going to be mentioned again. Another teretz that I saw is, in order not to make the error that one would think that the chiv of shechita by a bird is not a chiv d'orais, it's only the rabbanon. So says our Mishnah, the din of shechting birds together with the din of shechting animals. By shechting animals, everybody is aware that the chiv shechita is a d'orais, so too by birds. La'olam shechtem, when we say the word la'olam shechtem, man tana, who is the tana of our Mishnah? And we begin a very fascinating sugya. Amar Rabba, Rabbi Shmuel. It represents the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. The Tanya, the pasuk says, Ki yach v'shem elokecha skvulcha k'shedibalach v'marata ach labasa. Rabbi Shmuel oima, lo'ibo ha'kosef el lahat lambasa taiva. The pasuk is coming to teach us that a person could eat meat even just for enjoyment. And he explains himself. Shevetchila nes lambasa taiva. Until Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, he suggests you weren't allowed to eat meat just because you wanted a steak for dinner. You were only allowed to eat meat when you brought it for carbon. Mishenichnas al aretz, once they came to Eretz Yisrael, hotelam basa taiva. They weren't required, if they wanted to eat meat, to specifically take it to the Beis Hamikdash. They were allowed to eat meat, shecht animal, in order to eat meat. Va'achshav, shigalu, now that we unfortunately no longer have an iser, yochu yachsuli sur narishin. We would think that they should come back to their original Isser. L'kach sheninu, l'olam shechtem. That's why the Mishnah had to teach us that this din that came into play when they came into the Yisrael according to Rabbi Shmuel, that you could just shecht an animal for the purpose of eating, that's mutter. Maskel Rabbi Yosef, how, if that's what the Mishnah means, so the focus isn't on the shechita. The focus is on the eating. So why does the Mishnah say Loilam Shachtim? Loilam Shachtim Va'echlam Abayilay. The focus is that we could continue eating meat even if it was only slaughtered for the purpose of eating. Void, asked the Gemara Mikara Maitama, Itzer. Why, until we came to Yisrael, do we have to eat meat only if we brought it as a carbon? Mishum Davin Karvel Mishkan. Because it was very easy to bring a carbon. How big was the camp in the Midbar? Everybody was fairly close to the base of Mikdash, to the Mishkan. So if you want to eat meat, bring a carbon. Ubsaif my tama ishtaru. Why, when they arrived at Yisrael, did that stop? Because at Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, is a much bigger country. And just every time you want to eat meat, you have to bring a carbon. It's difficult. Davimarchakim a Mishkan. The Koshkein, hashta, derchakle tfei. Now it's even further. So the Gemara is saying, to explain that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is difficult for two reasons. One, because then the Mishnah should have said Shaykh Devaichlim. And furthermore, it makes no sense that we should have now a halacha that we have to eat as a carbon, when now it's even harder to bring as a carbon. At least when we had the Beis Hamikdash, if you wanted to, you could bring a carbon. Now we can't bring a carbon at all. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash. So how do we understand the Havmin and the Maskana? So Taisvis suggests that this is based on Taisvis. We know Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is Kedush Rishayin a Kitch L'Shata, the Kitch L'Asalavai. The Kedush of Etzisrael remains forever. But there's a machlokes how to interpret that concept. Some say that as long as the Beis HaMikdash was standing, that's clear. We learned this in numerous times in Masechta Zvachim, Masechta Menachos, bomas were prohibited. What is the halacha after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed? There is an opinion, and it could well be it's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, bomas became mutter. So now we understand the Mishnah very well. Indeed, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, so you live far away from Yerushalayim. So Hashem says, I can't make you schlep to bring a carbon because you want to eat meat. But now that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and bomas are all over the country, maybe it should be like the Midbar, and you could be able to bring a carbon wherever you are and eat the meat that way, not just shecht an animal. That's what the Mishnah has to teach us, that it's mutter. Furthermore, the Gemara says that if the pshat in the Mishnah was because they wanted that the point the teacher says that you can eat meat just with shechita, even as a carbon, the Mishnah is still oilam shoich devaichlam. So Mefarshim suggests that actually the machloikus of Rav and Rabbi Yosef is a very deep machloikus. What is the reason that Hashem said that in the Midbar they should only bring karbonis in order to meet meat? Is it because they wanted the meat to be holier meat? Or is it because they wanted the shechita in the Beis HaMikdash? If you say that it's a question of eating, so that then applied in the Beis HaMikdash, no longer when they got that Tzisrael. So the Mishnah said, L'olam shoicht v'oichlam. If we say it's nothing to do with the eating, it has to do with the Shechita, then we can understand why it doesn't say the word oichlam, because the Shechita is a different Shechita than Tzisrael. It isn't only for the purpose of Karbonis. Mefarshim go on to explain. We all remember, in Parshas Ba'aloyscha, there's a parasha in the Torah, the parasha Masoinanim, where they complained that they didn't have any meat. It's a very hard parasha to understand, because the pasuk says, a mikna rav, they had plenty. So all the mefarshim try to understand, here they had plenty, and here they're upset that they don't have any meat. But now we could understand that parasha very well. Because their complaint wasn't that they weren't able to eat meat. The complaint is that they were always obligated to eat the meat that they brought as a carbon, which was a tircha. You had to go to Beis HaMikdash, and you had to give away a big part of the carbon to the Kohanim and to the Mizbeach, and that was what they were upset about. They wanted to be able to shecht any time and keep the entire animal for themselves. There's a very interesting vart from the Sar Sholem from Belz based on this Gemara. The question that he asks is, do you have to eat meat by Mlav Malka? Do you have to have a fleshig Mlav Malka? So he brings this Gemara as a raya that you don't. He says, let's think about it. In the Midbar, all the meat that they ate was meat that they brought as a carbon shlomim. We also learned many times the halacha is, you can't bring a carbon shlomim on Shabbos, because you're only allowed to bring a carbon on Shabbos that you're obligated to bring. A shlomim is in the dava. So any carbon, that any meat that they had on Shabbos, when did they shech that carbon shlomim? Friday. A carbon shlomim could be nechel, L'shnei yom for 2 days, v'layla echad. So by the time Matzah Shabbos came, even if they brought the carbon Erev Shabbos, the meat was usher, it was already nicer. So nobody had any meat Matzah Shabbos. So how did they eat Mal Malka? It must be that they didn't eat the flesh of Mal Malka.